to Jurassic Park.
We've made living biological attractions so astounding that they'll capture the imagination of the entire planet.
The most phenomenal discovery of our time.
How'd you do this?
Becomes the greatest adventure of all time.
Can I touch it?
Sure.
Universal Pictures presents.
You feel that?
Hold on to your butts.
A Steven Spielberg film.
Fences are failing all over the park.
Yeah, that's nice. Gotta go.
An adventure.
Look out! Go!
I can't get Jurassic Park back online.
65 million years in the making. Jurassic Park.
Welcome back to the Movies. I am Ted Flint. We are the TailgateSociety.com. This is Back to Movies. In case you're here for the first time, this is where we watch a movie or rewatch a movie that we had not seen in a while. If you joined us last time, we watched E.T. and that was a podcast. The FCC is not happy with me, but I have a bunch of lawyers, so I'm sorry for them. Yeah, it's gonna work out well. And I'm pretty sure the president's no longer with us, so you know we can work out. I think Camilla, whatever, Harris is gonna help us out. All right, back to the movies. Jurassic Park is this movie. We're doing a back-to-back a Steven Spielberg week. If you want to watch us or listen to us, you can't watch us, you can't see us, but join us on your podcast app of choice. iTunes, iHeart, Amazon, Spotify. I got Spotify. No Stitcher. Stitcher's still dead. One day. Like I said, I'm Ted Flynn. I'm joined by Jake Voss, Sean Tez Festerman. Before we start, we always have the wheel. The wheel is where I spin the wheel. I make the wheel each and every other week. So I am a handy person who is good at tools, but I changed it up this, guys, as you can see. As you can see from this week, I changed it. I thought the wheel was too boring. I thought I'd have some more fun. As you can see behind me, I have made a 5-foot by 5-foot Plinko board. As you can see, dinosaurs are on it. The Plinko board, all that shit I have made. As you see, I'm holding in my hand a glass shuffleboard that I have put on at Amber with mosquito that I have glued on there. Surprisingly hard to catch a mosquito in Amber and then make it solid in the freezer.
You just like went out in your backyard and
I am covered in bumps. I don't want to get into it because you know it's a thing, but I covered my body in molasses and waited till they came and got me, and then I grabbed one.
It's really the only way to do it.
And it was a very unpleasant shower, and I am splotchy. I am missing hair now. I'm a very splotchy mess. Anyways, the Plinko board. Ignore me how we got it. The Plinko board. And here we go. Let me climb up the ladder. Excuse me. God damn it. All right, climb up the ladder. All right. And tink, 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 tink. Tink, 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 tink. All right. It's on me. And sometimes it lands on me. I've heard in the emails on our official email that I don't share, but that no one says that it ever lands on me. So it landed on me for the first time in a while. Because, you know, the game is not rigged. People claim the game is rigged and I make who I want to spoil the movie. But anyways, in 90 seconds or less, I'm going to spoil the shit out of 1993's Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park is made by Michael Crichton, one of the amazing authors from the late 80s, 90s. He wrote Congo, Jurassic Park, Spear, ER Pilot. Literally, he was the guy for a while. Also was 6'7". He also was a heart surgeon. Also, I'm wasting time on 90 seconds. Anyways, Jurassic Park is about a island with dinosaurs that they think they can make into a zoo. Starts off with raptors killing a worker. They should have shot her. Didn't. It all goes bad. They bring in an paleontologist, Ian Malcolm, who's a chaos science theater. Jeff Goldblum at his absolute peak hotness. Laura Dern, who is somehow 26 in this movie, and I always thought she was much older. Things go bad. Dennis Nedry, the guy from Seinfeld, Newman, real piece of shit. Shuts the power off. Everyone escapes. T-Rexes are terrifying. I had fucking nightmares from this fucking movie. Raptors also terrifying. Everyone dies. Sam Jackson looks like he's 58. He's also like 32 in this movie. He loses an arm. Bad shit happens. T-Rex saves the day. Let's talk about how the T-Rex could have snuck up on the Raptors inside a building without them hearing it. Cue the fucking John Williams score. Everyone's happy. Make $1 billion.
I think Samuel Jackson lost more than an arm. I think the arm was what was left.
That's true. He is dead.
The arm was what was found.
He got the reverse Bucky.
The reverse Bucky. Okay.
So, yeah, this movie came out in 1993. Spawned the sequel novel that Michael Crichton also wrote that is not as well received. There's now four of these movies after this, or six. Apparently, they're making a new set of these movies with Scarlett Johansson because nothing original can ever get made again. Yeah. As I say, pretty solid movie. You guys, I assume. I
cannot believe Laura Dern was 26.
Did you fact check me on that?
Yes, I did.
Look at that shit. Look at me knowing shit.
I had to when you said it because I was like, damn, okay. I mean, not that I thought she was like old in the movie, but.
People in the 80s and 90s just aged differently, man. Like, just think about everyone in Cheers was like in their low 30s.
This is true. Yeah, some of those old sitcoms and stuff. It's wild when you start looking at how old
people were. Also came out in 93. That's when Jake was born. Sean is also very young. So as we always start the podcast, we roll around the table of what is everyone's first memory and when was the last time you actually sat down and watched this movie?
I knew Jurassic Park movies. I mean, as far back as I can remember. I don't know if that's something that I'm guessing didn't spawn when I was 3 years old when this one came out. I'm guessing it was a little more when the sequels were rolling out and it was back in the pop culture centers and stuff like that. But I do remember even as a kid, you know, being 5 and 6 years old, I had friends, and then I guess myself even had a lot of the toys and stuff from the movie, you know, had the whole compound and the big gate and the T-Rex for sure was obviously always the big one. The Jeeps obviously are just iconic with the paint job and everything. Had all of those toys and stuff as a kid. As far as actually watching it, I don't know if as a kid I ever watched any of them all the way through. I know I saw bits and pieces. Even rewatching it today, I don't remember the first like 15 minutes of this movie at all. I had no idea how it started, how you get where you get to. I remember, to me, the movie just started in my head when they're on the helicopter flying to the island. Like, that's just, I couldn't have told you what happened before that. So there's definitely spots in my brain of what I remembered and stuff like that, but I haven't watched the movie itself end to end in years and years and years. Still a banger though.
Yeah,
it's so good.
This movie for me, if you would never tell me the years that these movies came out, this movie sits in my brain, I would assume that I saw it when it came out when I was like 7 or 8, and it's just always been a thing. Obviously, that's not true. But yeah, other than the very opening scene of the like mine and finding the amber, I remember almost the whole movie. Like, I remember him that I thought the movie opened up with Hammond showing up at the dig site and like telling them, hey, come do this for me, whatever, offer them money, funding right. The whole dig type of thing. And I remember. I didn't remember every detail about this movie, but I remember a whole lot of it. And I don't know the last time I actually sat down and watched it all the way through, but there wasn't much of it that I was like, oh, I just didn't remember any of that sitting down watching it yesterday. So
walks in at 2 hours and 6 minutes, which, you know, me and my 2 hour, you know, 2 hour rule right above it. But so like to piggyback on what Sean said, so I read the novel growing up before the movie came out. And he said he like kind of remembers when he came to the park and whatever. Like, Michael Crichton was notorious for like, he was a heart surgeon. Like, his novels are science, littered in science facts. So like the first 175 pages of that book is about how they made the dinosaurs. Like, the T-Rex attack does not start to like 175. And I remember like after I read the first time, and got like the gist of it, whenever I reread it, because that's what I did, was I got to reread books, I would start there. I would start the T-Rex fight, because that's when shit kicked in. That's like, I didn't need to hear about DNA and how they were doing this shit. And also, like, scenes from the sequel novels are in, sequel movies are in the movie, like the book. Like the compies attack in the second one and starts the book off with like a kid's getting destroyed. And then like the raptor attack is off scene. Like it's about a doctor being like interviewed by how some guy showed up with a fucking wound. And some company's trying to tell them it's an accident, like a forklift accident. And the doctor's like, it's not a fucking forklift accident. Like, you know,
not that.
It's a claw, you know, and shit like that. So like,
it's interesting that the book is that. And then the movie does the thing. Book, does what the movie does, and I think the movie they encapsulate that amazingly into the first, I don't know how many minutes it is we're in, but they basically introduce the theme park as a theme park, which they do insanely well. It's probably, I don't know, it looks like about 35 minutes in, they're still doing the sit down thing.
The book is also hyper violent. Like the dinosaurs are terrifying, and they're terrifying in the book. The raptors are terrifying. Like, I mean, they're terrifying in the movie as a child. Like, you don't want to, like, I hate how
it is scary, but it's not like adult gory.
I will push back on that. I feel like if they hadn't made the newer sequels where like the raptors are friends, how this would hold up as like, these are things that will fucking destroy you. Like in the more of these movies they make, the raptors are friends of Owen in the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
But in the first two, like in the second one, when they're in the field and they're tracking them, that shit's terrifying.
Oh yeah.
But like in the book, you don't want to fuck with the raptors. Like they're not fun. They're not friends at all. I mean, I don't know if I want to fuck with them in this movie, but
yeah, I don't think I'm not huge on like the new trilogy and stuff. I think I've seen the two or whatever it is at this point. I know I've seen the first one.
There's three of them.
Is there all three now? I didn't even know. So I probably haven't seen it, but I know I've seen at least the first one. They didn't hook me with it, so I'm not like super into it. But yeah, no, the raptors are like, I don't think that hurt this at all.
Yeah, I remember being scared of them in the theater, like legit jump scares. And I think a part of that is like, this is like, we discussed of Independence Day, and this, it came out 3 years later, like very little CGI, like the brontosauruses are CGI, but like they built a fucking T-Rex for the most part.
Yeah, it's and even the pieces, you know, there's obviously not a ton of it, a lot of actual practical physical things they built that look incredible. And then even on top of that, the stuff they do use some CGI for is still incredibly good for 1993 or whatever it is. And then you think of some of the movies that came out even in the 10 years after that, how terrible they were with CGI. It's crazy to just kind of run that comparison of just, you know, there were movies that came out 10, 15 years later that had significantly worse CGI. And granted, it's a big studio movie that I'm assuming had a decent budget and everything.
And has Steven Spielberg, you know,
right.
And so, Ray Winston was the monster creator.
But yeah, it's just, they did an incredible job, you know, for, it still looks fantastic today when you watch it. Like
that's another thing about like me, not in my brain, it doesn't seem like it's as old as I am, because it holds up amazingly well just watching it. The special effects and the stuff they set pieces and everything that they did. There are a few things that I watch this time looking in the background, there's some stuff that's not as great that stands out when you're really looking for it. But for the most part, it's like, yeah, they didn't try and overdo it on CGI. They didn't get too crazy on a lot of things. They did a lot of practical stuff, and it still looks great.
And like I mentioned when I was discussing it, my son's really gotten the Jurassic Park movies after the first one, Jurassic World came out, the new one. So I have seen these too many times. Like I feel like I could probably rank them in the order I've seen them the most. Like Jurassic World 3 and Dominion are the two I've seen the least. And it's just 2 hours, 6 minutes, no fat. Like it introduces the characters. It introduces Nedry as the person who's going to fuck up everything. It introduces Malcolm and Grant and Ellie as like people, you know, Hammond, the kids, even the lawyer, which I get a kick out of the lawyer being like the one that's changed the most from the book. So there's a character that's not the lawyer in the book that acts like the lawyer, where the lawyer in the book and Madoon, the hunter, are basically like, they have like a cop, like a buddy cop movie through the novel where like they're off like doing side shit. And like the lawyer's like a retired football player, like an old like high school football player. It's like a big burly dude. And you also have the hunter and like they're just shit talking to each other throughout the novel, like, and doing this shit. And like in this, like, he's just a little Weasley bitch.
Yeah.
Like, it's like we need someone to die. So we got to make sure the audience doesn't give a shit he dies. We got to make a character they're all hate and just cheer for it. You know?
Yeah, the lawyer who immediately is all about the money as soon as he starts seeing how crazy things are.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, just starts seeing profit. And
can be.
Real quick, before we dive into the next part, which we get to the part where like they're on the dinosaur tour. Unless we want to discuss like the Mr. DNA part or anything like that, you know?
I don't know how much we need to discuss it. I think it's super well done, and I think it's super well done because it's very much how I would think a park would design such a thing if you're gonna have an amusement park that was this.
Would you go to this park?
Oof.
If you like won a sweepstakes, you won a casino slot machine, like you won.
Nah, I wouldn't be the first people to go through. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's one of those. You definitely got to give it. You give it a couple years, work out the kinks.
I can think of way too many ways things can go wrong to be there very early on in the whatever after the opening of the park. That's for sure.
Right. So let's get all right. Dinosaur tour. Real quick, what was all your guys' favorite dinosaur growing up?
Oh man.
Huh. That's interesting. I don't know for sure. There isn't one that jumps out from the top of my head, but it was probably
maybe a
brontosaurus because of Littlefoot, like Land Before Time. Like Land Before Time were like, those were my movies I watched.
Fucking that fucking movie, the Pizza Hut little puppets, the Pizza Hut little puppets that you get with the personal pans.
So I don't remember a lot. Yeah, like those movies were I don't know when the first one came out.
89, 87.
I was gonna say, I'm sure the first couple came out before I was born. But yeah, I grew up with those. So like probably that, or as I got older, maybe just like the T-Rex was always the like big badass right. one. So maybe that, I don't know. I don't specifically remember one, but I do very much remember watching Land Before Time movies. So
man, Land Before Time, that's a fucking rough fucking movie.
There's some rough parts.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being at least somewhat fond of like a Triceratops, but I don't know if it ever would have been like a favorite. I mean, I'm sure if, you know, 7-year-old me was in the room right now, I'd just be screaming, goes, you don't like that one. But yeah, I remember being like, it was one of those things where like, I thought I was super into dinosaurs, but then at the end of the day, like I think at any time in my life, I could maybe name like 5 kinds of dinosaurs. Like I didn't get super into them, but I was super into the 5 that I knew, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all knew like 5 growing up. Right.
Right.
Something
yeah.
Like that. I don't
and
know.
None of us knew raptors growing up until this movie came out. Like that's how we, like, you know, or the Marvel came out. Like that was like
Triceratops, so Brontosaurus, Pterodactyl. I don't know.
T-Rex.
Yeah.
T-Rex. Stegosaurus. I was always team. I was always team Triceratops or Stegosaurus. Like just two meaty, two herbivores that would just, you know, fuck your world up. You know.
Also, apparently, apparently Littlefoot is people call him a Brontosaurus and a Brachiosaurus, but is now identified as an Apatosaurus.
Well, basically, I don't want to get into the weeds, but didn't they come out like a few years ago and basically like Brontosaurus aren't real and just they just fucked up the skeleton and they didn't exist?
Well, there's a few examples of them as time has gone on. They're like, yeah, we were making a lot of assumptions and actually what we figured out is this.
I mean, so, they all have feathers. Like yeah, they all have feathers, basically.
There's a lot of that. That's
I mean, Velociraptors were big birds, but big birds would fuck your world up. Mm. So, I mean, don't care if they have feathers or not, they're fucking your world up, you know? So,
yeah. Feathers don't get fossilized easily, so.
So, yeah, Triceratops, Stegosaurus, or the one that had, like, the mace of the tail, the shell.
I don't remember what that one was called.
Armorosaurus, some shit, where, like, he was just, you know, anyone that was, like, a herbivore that would also, like, just fuck up a meat eater. Carnivore, if it came to it. All right. I'm gonna give you guys a layup question because sometimes you need a layup question. Okay.
Just don't miss the bunny.
Don't miss the bunny. Favorite GIF from this movie.
Oh man.
And the question, normally one that you didn't realize that was from this movie, but I don't feel like there's an answer for that. There's
no.
Yeah, there definitely wasn't anything that I didn't know was from this movie. Man, favorite one's tough though. They're all very good when you get the chance to use them in a good context. And there's never a time they're not great. Like I love a good hold on to your butts moment.
Man, if you can drop it good, like especially like Iowa State's up 2 with 90 seconds left and the other team has the ball and you're just
it's one of my favorite like sporting racing event like you know some shit's about to go down and it's probably going to go poorly for what you're rooting for. That's probably my answer.
Yeah, I think if it's not that one, I think just the when Dr. Grant sees the dinosaurs and he's taking off his glasses and just and you know over the years there's been people that have edited it into just him seeing the dumbest stuff on the planet
it's used in the GIF meme format of that,
but it's just it's great when you do have a moment to just be like, oh shit, you know what the hell is happening here. Right. There's still plenty of honorable mentions too.
Mine's Malcolm, man. Mine is definitely Malcolm. Yeah. It's like whenever like some fucked up food or they're thawing out some worm from Antarctica for the first time in 10,000 years, and it's just Malcolm being like, "Did they ever think to stop about if they should? What is it like? They could
too busy too busy wondering if you can to, instead of thinking if you should or whatever.
You know,
yeah."
Or when there's some food from a minor league baseball food that has like shrimp and hamburger and
Is that I don't know if I would put that.
It's a meme. All right, I'm making an executive decision that they're one and the same.
There, because I have other things on here that aren't necessarily like popular gifts.
Well, toss like them out.
Or moments that.
Well, we got quotes coming up, so don't say a quote. And also favorite moments. So maybe just keep those in your holster.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about it now.
Speaking of Ian Malcolm, Jeff Goldblum, National Treasure, amazing dude.
He's great.
It's a safe place, right? We're a safe place. No one's listening anyways.
It's always a safe place.
Jeff Goldblum has never been sexier than this fucking movie. When he's sitting there and he's like all fucked up, like just legs mangled.
I think you just have a thing for Goldblum, but...
I mean, there's definitely...
Who doesn't?
There's a few times he's laying like, on
I don't not sure. But I also don't have your level of thing for Jeff Goldblum is what I'm getting at.
Just saying, you show up at my front door with his shirt open, sweaty as shit, a wounded leg, and partying like, hey, you want some coffee?
I mean, I will say lately between this and Independence Day the Jeff Goldblum that lived in my head for 30 years has changed as not just the geeky weird guy. He was doing well in the 90s.
Oh yeah, he was.
And I'll give him that.
In the Thor movie.
Yeah.
He just seems like a dude that like I want to like if you could be like on the short list of actors you get to hang out from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. in New York City.
Who are you picking? I feel like Goldblum is on that fucking list.
Yeah, he seems like fun, and he seems like he's had himself figured out for a long time and just...
Yeah.
I read an article about him recently, about how, like, when you meet him at a party for an event and you don't know him, he's on the record of saying that if he meets a stranger, he will act as though he knows who they are just to, like, make them feel special. And that, like, is such a cool fucking thing. You know, like, if you're right, like, he's like, oh, I know, you've heard, you know, just, so, you know. And, like, as, you could see him doing that shit. Like, just being, like, overly friendly for 2 minutes, saying, all right, I got to get going. But nice, you know, nice seeing you again or some shit. Like, that's in his wheelhouse, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's, he seems, you know, like I said, it's over the years, for sure, you hear the stories and just even kind of see him, whether it's in interviews or even just the way he acts in some movies anymore. He seems like a very chill, like, honest and respectable person. Like, I don't know. Seems like a good hang, for sure.
I'm going to say something that might be controversial. I don't often say controversial things on this podcast. I'm very buttoned up. I think Jeff Goldblum is what people think a Bill Murray type hang would be. I like Bill Murray.
Possibly.
I don't know if I want to hang with Bill Murray. I want to hang out with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, I mean, there's the famous stories of Bill Murray. If a lot of those stories are true, I don't know that I would say that he is less than what Goldblum would be as far as a hang like that. But I would agree that Jeff Goldblum definitely seems like he would be that kind of a, like, random hang. Like, if he just... whatever, stumbled into a situation where he was at a resort and ended up at a reception or something, like, he'd probably be a great guy to, like, just be there and interact with randomly.
Right. All right. So back to the lack of CGI, we talk about the T-Rex being made as a creature that I can't imagine. Like, it fucked. Like, they literally, like, made a T-Rex that smashed in the top of that car into those kids. Like, how does that not just fuck you up? I don't give a shit how fake you know it is. Also, the sick Triceratops was something that was real. I want to put a sick Triceratops.
Triceratops.
Even if it's fake.
They did a great job with setting the scene for the T-Rex doing those scenes at night with the rain. Like, it kind of helps. Obviously, it sets ambiance and mood and makes stuff scarier and whatever, gives you the puddles and stuff. But then the scenes with the actual T-Rex, it helps you kind of cover up, you know, what it is and that it's a real thing, but it's not a real thing. It's a set piece, whatever, that they built. And it just works so well for something they did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Sure to me. It's cool.
31 years ago, when the movie actually came out.
They're bringing out the goat.
all right, let's talk about that. So that whole scene. God damn, we forgot the big piece of pile of shit when we were discussing gifts and memes.
Yes, I did forget about that part.
I realize that's, like, not in, like, the, like,
no,
like,
but it does come up ever. It probably comes up more often than a lot of the other parts we would talk about the quotes from, as far as, like,
when it's used well, it's good shit.
Oh, we also didn't bring up, and this is a gif, it also is a meme gif that they do, but when Nedry's sitting down with the guy getting the money in the Barbasol can, and he's like, see, it's Conan, or whatever.
See, nobody cares.
Oh, yeah, see, nobody cares. Which has been turned into, like, a meme format, but...
I'm making a poll, and I don't know how in my head I thought Jeff was spelled, but J-E-F-F was not what it was.
Did you spell it G-off?
Well, no, I know a lot of G-offs. And I don't know why I just haven't ever, like, written Jeff in a while. Hefe. Anyways... Yeah.
A random.
I need to watch that movie again. So yeah, like, let's discuss the T-Rex attack. In the, like, echelon, we discussed E.T. our last podcast with E.T. and Elliot in the moon, and like, you know, amazing scenes or images or whatever. The cup shaking, the cup vibrating, the cup when the T-Rex is heading their way is such a simple but yet effective, like, we are fucked moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they, like, I think Tim has the glasses and, like, the night vision, and he goes up and you see, like, the T-Rex holding the goddamn electrified fence afterwards. And, like, they realize the fences are off. And, like, that whole, like, you know, and, like, they made the cup vibrating with literally a guitar string under the dash.
Mm.
And it's just so good. Like, I feel like the glass vibrating, I feel like the water rippling is up there, like, in the last 30 years of, like, most memorable scenes or images. Like, where do you guys fall on that?
It's definitely one of those things of, like, it's a moment that, let's say you were, like, I used to do a lot of, like, bar trivia nights. If they did, like, a picture round of, like, just name this movie from this one still image, and it was just the ripples in the cup, everybody in that bar is going to get that answer right.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it's stuck in your head. You know what that is. Everybody knows what that is. And it is, it's incredibly simple. But it builds such a big moment.
Well, I think that's what, between, we kind of reference it with E.T., talking about E.T. as well. This movie has more than just the scenes. There are just things from the movie that when you, if you would show someone a still image of that, or even not a full context image or something like that, you're going to know, like, so many people are going to know, like, if you show them a vehicle, even that's not a Ford Explorer, in the colors or something of the Jeep of what's in the movie, or a Barbasol can,
or the gates. Like, with the words gone.
Yeah. You know, like, or just, like, there's so many things from the movie that are just iconic for so many people that have, you know, grown up in the time or seen it since the movies have come out or whatever. Like, it's just, it's why the greats are great. Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, how many directors,
even just Dr. Grant's hat. It's,
and it's, everyone is so perfectly cast. Like, I don't mean like the joint you had, like Dr. Grant, like who, I don't know who else you recast in this movie. I know, like, Mel Gibson was approached for Grant. And, like, can you imagine this movie with Mel Gibson? I don't think it works.
No, 1993
Mel Gibson. That's Lethal Weapon 2.
Yeah, it's a different
Bird on a Wire, which is a movie I'm sure neither one of you have heard of.
Nope.
Like,
yeah, I don't know if it works the same for sure. I mean, it is everybody's incredibly good in it. Like, even the kids are good, and like the kids are very good because they are expected to do a lot of the, you know, the scared scenes, and then you know, can get into it later, but even like the kitchen scene and stuff like,
buddy, that, those kids have trauma with a capital T. Timmy ain't sleeping well again ever,
but I'm sure they got paid like a couple bucks.
In the book is much meaner. So in this movie, Hammond is like a grandpa that's just like trying to be good and all this shit. In the book, he is just a capless motherfucker, and he dies like horribly.
Oh, so, I meant to.
So in the book, like the whole thing ends. It ends with them trying to stop a boat. Is that in this movie too? The boat. They're getting to the mainland. They're trying to stop it. They're trying to quote a hold of it because raptors are on a boat. No. But anyways, like Hammond, like, survives the thing. He's like, how can we rebuild the park? How can we get it back to normal? And then he fucking like is walking and he like trips and breaks his leg, like in the jungle. Like, he like falls down this hill and like he's by himself. And the fucking compies get him from the second movie. Like those little fucking ones that like when they bite you, like it like poisons you and he can't like climb out of the fucking ditch to like save himself. So, yeah, but I'm glad he's a good old man in this one.
I did have down two from part
who spared no expense, by the way, if you didn't.
Spared no expense. The ice cream's good. I didn't realize or didn't remember, I guess, that it was Hammond's grandkids. I think just in my head, it was always Grant's, Dr. Grant's kids and stuff like that. I just don't think I ever paid attention to that as like a plot point.
Yeah, I think I don't. If you would have asked me, I could not have told you for sure they were his grandkids, but I don't think I would have spotted them as like Grant's kids. I would have been like, I don't know. They're as like a relation of somebody or something,
right?
But they're not.
Right.
Yeah. I couldn't have, I don't think I could have for sure told you they're Hammond's grandkids that for whatever reason are there. And
which is obviously, you know,
the maiden voyage of the most dangerous thing that's ever been
right
as far as the theme park goes.
I've got live dinosaurs here. Let's bring my fucking 12-year-old
untested. Let's go. Also, I'm gonna go ahead and like just throw this out here now because I keep thinking about it. I know Sam Neill from this, and that's about it.
Come on, my guy.
I mean, I don't know if off the top of my head. I
now that I'm thinking, else, now that I said something,
there's
now
one other thing, and I can't think about. I can't.
He's in Event Horizon. He's in Peaky Blinders early seasons.
He's kind of a that guy, like in some of this other stuff that I would have even like known him from. To be honest with you, looking at his IMDb, scrolling through his IMDb,
I feel like there's something else I should know him from.
I feel like there's one other big one that I'm missing, and I keep scrolling past. But yeah, he's kind of just like it's just this, at least as far as my watching of movies and stuff goes. I thought maybe that was going to be more controversial for Ted or something, but I guess not.
Well. It's bothering me that I can't think of other shit besides Event Horizon, which is a fucking movie.
Yeah, so yeah, Event Horizon is a.
I have not watched that since my teen years. I'd be real curious how that holds up now.
I've seen bits and pieces. I listened to a podcast that did a review of it maybe about a year ago. And I don't think they were super sold on it.
Right. And not more, not that Jake said that loud. Like he is, he's just kind of a guy that, but he's also in Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, I just got down to that one. I hadn't scrolled very far older than Jurassic Park, but
oh.
I also haven't seen that.
But he's also a guy that forever. When he shows up, like he and me, like adds like gravitas to the movie. Like he's just, okay, cool, this guy.
I think that's why he works in this movie, because there is not one single person that's asked to carry the movie. And so he does very well just being the main guy in his part of the story for the segments of time that his scenes happen.
He's a good glue guy. Yeah.
I think if you tried to actually center the movie and a lot more of the screen time around him, it probably doesn't work as well. But that's not what they did.
So back to the T-Rex thing, I'm going to go back to, cause I want to touch on it real quick again, like just how amazing it is. The T-Rex attack, Ian coming out with the flashlight after Alan's basically after everyone saved everyone.
He already got it done, dude.
Like, the goddamn lawyer dying on the shitter, which is just. Like Spielberg had to get that out of a system. I feel like a lawyer fucked him.
That was targeted, I'm sure. That somebody knew that was about them.
The goat leg falling on the goddamn car. Like, just... I think, on top of the glass, like, the iconic T-Rex, like, eyes blinking when she has a flashlight beside the car. Like, you know, And then they survive everything, and then the fucking have to climb down the tree, and the car is fucking
gradually falling down the tree. Yeah,
Tim is hanging on Grant's back like a dead ET on the back of Michael as he rides home.
Probably smells better. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah,
he's threw up on himself though, so maybe not.
Tim's got some good little lines in all of this, and that's one of them when that car falls, and he's just, we're back in the car.
Well,
back in the car. Yeah, we're back in the car. It's just, well, but at least we're out of the tree.
You know, Where the fuck is Ellie at in that entire time? She's with Grant, right? They're walking, they're running down together. But all right. So, what is there anything? I don't think there's anything from this movie that you guys did not realize was from this movie. Is there something that when you watch it, you like look forward to? Like you're like, I cannot wait for this scene. I can't wait for this moment. I can't. I'm gonna wait 10 minutes because this shit's happening.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I know, at least in my head, what always kind of stuck out. Like, obviously, like, the end scene, the way it all ends is huge and big and is the big climax. But I think leading up to that is even just kind of like I brought up before, like, just the whole kitchen scene, I think, was always just my favorite. Where he's, you know, they got to slide around and somehow they also just can't quit fucking making noise to save their lives.
Pay attention to what you're doing.
Right, yeah.
Stop leaning against the fucking stainless steel cabinets that clunk every time you do.
But yeah, that where they're, you know, running around having to sneak around and slide in and out. And then, you know, you get the little chases even in the vents and stuff afterwards.
Did you guys know that there were people in the Raptor suits? Have you guys ever Googled what those fuckers, like how they were in those suits?
I have. Now that you say that, I feel like I have seen, yeah, clips on the internet of the people like walking around controlling the like inner workings of those suits.
Like there was there, like, I mean, some of it's CGI, like obviously the Raptors jumping on the table, but like when they're like just strolling around, there are humans in rubber suits, and it looks so fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, did you find a photo, Sean? Like, it is something.
No, I'll have to check it out.
It's like their arms are up, being the mouth, but like their heads in the chest or something. Like, and like it just the claustrophobic that would come with that being like that.
Not good with tight spaces, huh?
No, not at all.
I don't know. I think the like the kitchen scene is probably what I think of the most. The whole like T-Rex breaking out like part of the movie is obviously like probably the most iconic or up there. So as far as like waiting for the part where they're sitting there and Grant's, you know, like, don't move, and then the flashlight and he gets out with the flare, and that's obviously the like another thing where it's like if I sat down and it was 10 minutes before that part or whatever, I'm gonna sit there and wait for that to happen before I get up to go do something.
So yeah, in I was just gonna say, like, some of that kind of touching back on, I know you guys talked about it a little bit earlier, but like the new ones they've come out with, I think I only saw like the first one that they
first
did.
One's good, the first Jurassic World's
and then I just heard bad news about all the other ones, so I don't think I ever watched them. But obviously in some of the, you know, they do some of the little homages and throwbacks and stuff like that where you know, you have the sort of the recreate, but the flare run, you know, light a flare and run to distract the T-Rex. Yeah. And
real heroic move, by the way. Like, didn't work out for him, but man, that took some balls. Like I'm saying, like, that took some balls. He had like to step out of there and do that.
Yeah, it's a gutsy choice for sure, because there's not the end game for you really at no point looks good. Like, what ended up happening is best case scenario.
We're gonna discuss that at some point, what happened to Ian Malcolm in this movie. But real quick, worst way to die: bitten in half by a T-Rex, spit in the eyes, blinded, and then your guts ripped out by the Diplodocus.
I mean, yeah, not great.
Or whatever the fuck happens to Sam Jackson's character with the fucking velociraptors.
I'm going to say it's probably Nedry. I think that little fucker probably just tears you up for a while and you don't die right away.
In the book, he dies awful. But let Sean pick before I get into how Nedry dies.
I think that's obviously a bad way to go. I was going to say maybe even just the guy that gets pulled into the raptor cage at the beginning, because that's a slow process and he's just slowly getting eaten away.
Because you got to imagine they at some point the raptor gets shrinked and he's not dead.
Oh yeah, which not great.
I imagine Samuel's character actually died fairly quickly. That's why I say that's probably not as bad as Nedry, but
yeah, there's some of that where I guess you obviously have to infer what all happens and how exactly it all goes down, because you have,
well, they do tell you Grant, when Grant makes that young kid go to therapy in the right. movie, that they are eating your guts while you're still
yeah,
alive.
It slashes your stomach, your intestines spill out, and yeah, they for sure start eating you while you're still alive. And it's also the, you know, when he explains, you know, you see one in a field in the opening and it's not that one that gets
fucking
you, it's the two that gets you from the side. And
fucking
it's just, ah, man.
Clever girl.
So it's gonna, it's
saying
gonna
clever
be
girl, not a not fun way. We don't kink shame here, but anyways.
I think the raptors is probably the most painful and worst way to go, but I don't know that there's a more terrifying one.
So in the book, in the book, Wu dies, which is like the overarching villain for the sequel trilogy, even though he's a bit part in this one. And when the raptors kill him, they jump from the roof and they have the door open. And he's like screaming for someone to come inside. And the raptor jumps down, pulls him out of the door, and does what happens. What Grant says, they're ripping him open, and he's still alive, like pounding on the head. In the book, though, Nedry gets blinded by the Diplosaurus, or whatever the hell it's called. Thinks he's safe in the car. The dinosaur's in there, which they show in this. But it's all written from Nedry's point of view, from how blind he is, and all of a sudden, like, he feels something, like, in his hands, and then he realizes that he's holding his guts. As a dinosaur decides to like just completely fuck him up, like that's a pretty bad way to go. Blind and holding your intestines in a car with a dinosaur.
Yeah, that's not. That's
at least
not good.
At least yeah, imagine the lawyer's spine broke at the bite, so he's probably.
Yeah,
not...
I think, like I said, it's at the end of the day, I think that's probably the least painful one. It's maybe the most terrifying one, though.
Yeah, I think he for sure dies the quickest out of the three. But I don't know, man. That little thing being in the Jeep with you,
like, and you're blind,
You can't see anything, and yeah, I don't know. I feel like that thing doesn't kill you faster than the raptors, so.
I mean, I've watched enough Daredevil episodes to know that when you're blind, like all your other senses, if you can't see, all your other senses are heightened.
I don't think that happens instantly.
I don't think that qualifies. Yeah.
Well, I hope I never find out.
I would agree.
Yeah, I don't think being blinded from shit in your eyes is quite the same effect.
I mean, I don't want shit in my eyes, but you know, anyway. So you get pink eye.
I think Nedry got something worse in his eye than pink eye, but
yeah.
Is there any actor in a famous small role? I feel like Sam Jackson, because this came out in 93.
Yeah. I mean, I looked it up. He's 45 when this came out, and I had scrolled through his IMDb, and he hadn't really, at least in my context for me, he hadn't really done anything.
He had that bit part in Goodfellas, the guy that can get rid of the car.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was the one that I was like, okay, I know that. But
Joey Pants, or where the fuck his name was. Fucked up. Fucked up.
Yeah, this was kind of where Sam Jackson took off, or kind of started, at least for what I've known him as.
Is there anything that hasn't aged well or took you out of it, or you're like...
I mean, the computer stuff just looks old, but that's right. It's not really that bad, other than it just is old tech. But
yeah, I don't think anything for sure anyway that stood out to me.
Like the cell phones. Well, I mean, you're on an island 100 and some miles away from whatever, so you'd have to have a sat phone or whatever anyway. So that doesn't even really realistically probably mess it up.
Right. All right. What's about the Raptors? We've touched on them. We talked about the kitchen scene. Overall, like, start to finish, like, how terrifying to you two are, like, the Raptors in this fucking movie?
They're the ultimate, like, terrifying predator, basically. Like, they are, like, that.
Yeah.
You, especially as you, you know, you get the scene of, well, there should only be two unless they learn to open doors. And you've basically right. already realized that through all of the talking about them and what they're doing that, yeah, they figured out the problem solving thing of opening doors. And so that's, unless and you have something that's going to lock, then.
And they do such a good job. They we had that part at the beginning, but like when Modoon's like, wait, the Raptors cage has been down this whole time. You tell me they haven't had electricity. Like yeah. him just the fear and like the toughest motherfucker on the movie. You're like, well, fuck. Like if he's worried, we're fucked, you know? And like, I don't think we realize like how big they are. Like they look big, but these are like what? 6 foot, probably 400 pounds. Like these are not small creatures.
Yeah. They're yeah. In their posture. They're probably as tall as, yeah, like 6 foot. And I don't, yeah.
Yeah. Cause even at the beginning, when they do that little radar shot or whatever they call it into the ground to find that skeleton, Grant makes a comment about, yeah, you know, 6 foot, it about 6 foot or something, and then goes into like bone structure and shit like that. But yeah, that's a 6 foot, so decently sized and just faster than shit.
I'll say super fast, super sharp teeth, talon and claws, feet, and
yeah. very, very smart. At least, you know, it's they figure shit out.
Well, they're smart as shit.
Yeah.
Like,
so
yeah, and then they have like the whole kitchen scene, which is iconic. The whole like they put one in the freezer, Ellie has to go turn the power back on, you know, all that shit.
Yeah, I forgot about that jump scare after she turned the power back on of the
one. Oh, come to the goddamn cables.
Yeah. I actually jumped because I forgot about that.
Love a good jump scare. Like yeah, Gavin cool. calls him. Gavin calls him jump scare. He calls him out by him, but he still jumps. Which is hilarious. We watched The Black Phone the other night, and a little properly fucked him up. It always cracks me up when like he has the blanket over his face. He's like, I don't want to stop watching, but also fuck this movie. All right. So favorite quote. We talked about the gifts. Jake said he wanted to talk about the favorite quotes. I'm gonna go with Malcolm's quote, or Life Finds a Way. Yep. Pretty good fucking quote.
I had that one marked down.
Yeah.
His whole skit, in the when they're like sitting at the table, and I think that's when he drops that one. I like his, like him opposing and being like, dude, like it's called evolution. Like you can say that you're doing all these things, but
like you can tell me they're all women, they're all female dinosaurs, but somehow shit's gonna happen.
Great foreshadowing there. I remembered that. That part of that and how it worked out later. You obviously said though they were too busy wondering if they could, they didn't stop to think if they should, which is a pretty great line. That's not just like some generic line. That's a pretty specific thing most people remember. I don't know. We spared no expense. He dropped that line about 10 times. Does that work for a favorite quote?
It is driven home for sure. There's all of those, you know, the big ones for sure. The ones I had marked down that I had, you know, forgotten about or didn't know about. I had at the beginning when Hammond meets him at the dig site of our attractions will drive kids out of their minds. And Grant asks, what are those? And Ellie says, a small version just of adults, honey.
yeah. Yep.
And then when they get like stalled out and Tim puts on the night vision goggles and the lawyer asks, just are those heavy? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, then they're expensive. Put them back.
Yeah, as a kid, I would have killed for fucking some night vision goggles.
And the only other one I had, which it doesn't really count as a quote, but as I had to mark it down, I think I've asked this before and brought it up. I don't know if you guys watch movies and stuff with subtitles. I do on all of them.
Rachel does. She's trying to get me into a subtitle person.
Well, if you didn't have them on, then you missed this. When they are doing the feeding with the cow, they hoist it up and the caption is "mooing in fear."
I'm gonna start using that when I'm at Iowa State game and we're
mooing in fear
when they're gonna line up for the goddamn field goal to lose the game.
That's great.
I like the dinosaurs on your dinosaur tour. I just like go drop that randomly when like I'm at an event that's like not proceeding as like it should, like the band's late or like, you know, like run behind schedule. I was like, are there gonna be dinosaurs on your it makes no sense. It makes no fucking sense at all. Like, but I love it. You know,
if you know the context, it makes all kinds of sense. But yeah, that was a good one. I didn't mark that one down, but I think the only other one I have in my notes, and you said it already, was the clever girl. Like when he's hunting the
when he realizes he's completely fucked.
Yeah, when he realizes he's screwed, and when he's trying to hunt the raptors.
So Gennaro and Muldoon make it through this book. Wu does not. Which is the villain for the next. He's a dude that's at the door yelling for Ellie to come inside. And at that point, they're on the roof already to avoid the raptors, and the raptor jumps down and fucking guts him. Which I think is hilarious that, like, you know. Also, a little bit of trivia when we're discussing people that died in this book. There's a huge character that's a huge character that dies in the book. Can you pick him? Not Hammond. I already told you Hammond dies in the book. It's gonna blow your mind, by the way.
Wait, that survived this movie but died in the book?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I mean, I don't have anything for sure. So
Malcolm dies in the book, but he's back in the sequel novel. Like, because like they don't like specifically say he's dead. But like all this shit goes down, and like some Grant asks someone who's been up Malcolm the whole novel and goes, "Where's Malcolm?" And then so-and-so just shakes his head.
Oh, so they pulled the whole like.
But then in the
didn't book, see it, him die. No confirmation even, of death actually in the.
So in the
book,
novel, it leads off of being like, everyone thought I was dead, but I was just. Pulse was down, you know, and they pull me back.
Tricky.
Because, like, he's in the sequel novel. He is the lead character in the second novel.
Yeah.
So they bring him back. And also, he gets basically gets fucked up. Also, we forgot must go faster for quotes.
Let's go faster.
They bring it back in Independence Day. Like, that might be the top one.
That's true. And that's another one where, yeah, when he's crawling up on the Jeep and he's just.
And he shifts it down.
You need to get off the stick. You got to move.
We're gonna fucking
get off the stick.
And that part isn't a novel because they mention them all about how like a T-Rex can get up to like 45 miles per hour, but only for like a short distance. And like there's like trying to like stop fucking us. Just get off the goddamn gear shift. We might make it out of this fucker and asshole. So in the book, Malcolm was basically drugged up the entire second half, which he did in this movie. But, like, They don't play it up. All right.
Yeah, there's just the one spot where Ellie says she gave him morphine or whatever, gave him a shot of morphine. And
then he's just kind of laying around for the most part.
Yeah, any then he's just sexy posing everywhere.
The sexy man. Anyway, any goosebumps moments from this movie?
Maybe the, like, water cup ripple thing.
Yeah, I think there's maybe some of those where if I didn't know every single thing that was going to happen in the movie.
Most all of the big stuff like that too well for it to fully be a goosebumps moment.
Because I'm sure, like, to an extent, you know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I would have told you, like, even at the end, the T-Rex coming in, but, like, leading up to it today when I was rewatching it, I was sitting there just going, how do you not see or hear the goddamn thing coming? Like, how does this surprise you?
Let's talk about that. But yes, like,
and why are we giving it credit like it's a friend? This thing an hour and a half ago was trying to eat everybody in the movie.
I will say before we go on to that part of it, I suppose maybe the first time you saw it, the first reveal of the dinosaurs with the music playing and whatever could be for a person. Yes. I personally like a different version of what that song has become. But we'll talk about that after the dumbassness that is the T-Rex like sneaking up on
people. Yeah, it's a good let's pull that. Remind me, Jake, discuss that in 5 minutes, like where this like this stands in like the most iconic scores.
Yeah.
Okay. That's your job.
Yep. I still have a bullet point that we're gonna touch on specifically about that song. So
good. Da-da-da-da. Anyways, so yes, I think it has to be the T-Rex saving everybody. I think I understand, like, and I love how like they couldn't figure out how to end the movie. And someone like told Spielberg, they're like, the T-Rex is the hero.
Just make the T-Rex the good guy.
Like, that's what basically someone's just like, don't overthink it. Like they're like they had it in the script, and Spielberg's like, well, they would hear it. The Velociraptors would hear it. How does it even get in the building? Like, how does it even get there? Like, how does it even? And they're like.
And there's a whole room.
Doesn't matter.
Who gives a shit? Yeah.
Man,
who gives
just, a shit? You end the movie.
Nobody's actually going to care.
You end the movie with the T-Rex saving the day. And that's how you end the fucking movie. Don't stop. Don't overthink about it, stupid. Just fucking. And I know we shit on the sequel trilogy. But it's the same T-Rex in that first sequel trilogy that fucking saves the day again. It goes against the goddamn, you know. Where the fuck that raptor T-Rex combo is? The raptor combos in the second sequel trilogy movie.
Oh yeah, I don't remember
the black one.
Yeah,
got my son's gonna kill me.
I have at least seen parts of that movie because I remember that.
What is that? Fuck! It starts with an A. It starts with an A. Oh, they're gonna kill me. Anyways, because they blended a
T-Rex. I've seen it at least once because I remember the crazy mixed.
I'm sorry, if I type in white dinosaur, I'm going to get a Donald Trump thing. sorry, not sorry. Indominus Rex.
Indominus Rex, yeah.
And then they blend the Indominus Rex with fucking raptor shit in the second one. It's already has raptor shit, but like, they made it worse. But yeah, like the T-Rex coming to save the day. Like when you overthink it, you're like, how does he sneak up on the raptors? How does he? But then you're like, holy shit, the banner's falling. The T-Rex is roaring. That's fucking cool. Don't give a shit.
Nope.
Yeah.
Like
for a split second in my brain, I was like, that doesn't make sense. Oh, wait, doesn't matter.
And the movie doesn't overstay its welcome. That happens. Nope. They get in the Jeep. They're on the helicopter. It's over. Like it's just.
Yeah, that was one of the things where when I was watching it today, there was even, I don't remember exactly what point it was, but it's at some point before they even are back in the, whatever it is, control center and all of that and start running around and
say the magic word.
But at one point I looked at it and I'm like, oh, there's like 17 minutes left in this movie, and I'm like, there's still a lot of shit that has to happen.
Dude, that part where they're in the vent and the raptor jumps up and it barely misses, is it Ellie's leg or one of the kids' leg? Fuck that shit, man. Yep. Woo! That's gonna fuck your asshole. like, but also, like, this movie, like, once the T-Rex hits, it also, like, leaves time for, like, when Hammond and Ellie are talking, and Ellie's like, you understand your grandchildren are out there, like,
yeah,
and you don't seem to give a shit.
I forgot about the kind of, I definitely forgot that was one part that I did not remember. She like one, she walks back in like completely dry and like everything's okay, but whatever.
You don't think she had the exact same change of clothes that?
But then he's just like sitting there eating ice cream, and she's like, "Do you like not fully comprehend the situation or?"
Yeah, there's a weird amount of times that, and I guess that's sort of supposed to be like the driving home that he just doesn't give a shit about it. It's all about how he makes this park work, but he has to be reminded numerous times that, like, hey, you have grandkids out there and there are people dying left and right because you just have dinosaurs running around, dude. And then, yeah, you know, he does his whole little spiel of, well, not all theme parks are great off, does his Disney, not everything worked at Disney World when they opened, and you get the...
He's like, I've seen a Final Destination movie. Those roller coasters will fuck your life up.
And yeah, is it Jeff Goldblum that says, just, yeah, but if Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down, the pirates don't start eating people. So, he obviously doesn't understand the magnitude of it, because then he starts diving into, well, now we know what we need to fix. Next time, these are things we can go after. And they're just like, what the fuck is wrong with
you? And they're really subtle, like, laying the groundwork for that early on in the movie when she grabs the leaf and she's like, this shit is poisonous. Why is this shit here? Why is this shit where someone can touch it like that? And he doesn't give a shit. He's just like, this cool. This shit is from the Cretaceous period. Like, you know,
yeah, even because, yeah, it's 50-50 on it's poisonous stuff. Like, people shouldn't be touching it, and the dinosaurs probably certainly shouldn't be eating it. And they're just like, oh, yeah, but they probably don't. Like, everything's cool. And it's just, yeah, so you guys didn't even try on this. And then I do like some of that dialogue where, and I think that's mostly when they're sitting at the table and, you know, they're going on about, you have 65 million year gap, and these guys don't know what decade it is. They don't give a shit. Like, they're here to just still be fucking dinosaurs.
Well, she says, like, you don't respect the power that you have. Like, you know, you know, and like, also, like, when dinosaurs just blow my mind, and I'm sorry, this is random, but like, I love when I see that, like, we are closer to the T-Rex than the T-Rex is to the Stegosaurus. Like, those, like, that shit, like, 130 million years ago was when the dinosaurs started. They left 65. Like,
so yeah, dinosaurs we basically equate, like, all dinosaurs together at one time.
Yeah, and it's like that's a 60 million. True. Yeah, Jake said, like, 60 million years where they were around. So, like, dinosaurs that were at the beginning of that aren't around when the T-Rex, and that blows my fucking mind. Like, the Stegosaurus and T-Rex were not around at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Not near each other. So.
All right, yeah, there's lots of them that were, like, have made famous or whatever that were just never anywhere near each other.
You tell me Land Before Time lied to me? Because I'm pretty sure I saw a goddamn fucking spike in that. And fucking rest in peace, Littlefoot's mom. Like, I don't give a shit about Bambi's mom. Littlefoot's mom dying fucked me up. Anyways, music. Jake, you have something you want to talk about the
music? So, the score when they first get to the island and they're seeing the brontosaurus is,
long neck.
Yeah, the long necks, walking around, eating, whatever, chilling. So that song or that music. Have you guys, I'm sure you've seen it, the holy fucking shit, it's a dinosaur, Jesus Christ.
I have not.
What the fuck? Yeah. So if you are listening to this and have not heard that, that is the only thing I can think of anytime I hear those notes play.
I meant to send that today. So the one you sent was not that.
The one that I know of is different than that, and I thought that's what that might be when you sent it, and then I listened to that or watched that one, and it was similar but not the same.
Yeah, I think I have seen the one that you're thinking.
I'll have to grab the one I'm talking about. I mean, it's
but it is.
I'm telling you right now, if I'm in a Jeep and I see a long neck, I'm probably not excited about it. I'm probably like, what the fuck, and why am I on this island? Like, give me the fuck off this island.
You see a live dinosaur, you're not going to be excited.
Well, I think
motherfucker, those guys have been extinct for hundreds of millions of years or whatever. Like,
I've seen these movies though, man, and like, yeah.
Even if I'm in the same context of what it is, yeah, I'm probably not gonna feel great, because it's weird that Hammond gets them to agree to just come to this island or whatever. But
3 years of fucking
nowhere is it. Obviously,
do we want to play what we would do if someone said we're going to sponsor your podcast for 3 years?
Well, I mean, that's fine, but it's clearly like it's made clear he doesn't explain what the island is. It's just it's something you guys will really enjoy. And so, if like if you told me just we're gonna take you somewhere, it's perfect for you. It's exactly it's everything you would dream of. And we rounded a corner and there were fucking dinosaurs. I tell you to get me the fuck out of there. What is wrong with your brain?
All I'm hearing now is when I tell Sean that we got a podcast sponsor, but we got to get on an airplane and go somewhere, he's going to tell me to go fuck myself.
I mean, I'll show up, but there's a decent chance when we get there, I'm going to go, yeah, we got to go back right now, man.
We also skipped over, and we need to finish podcast. I'm sure we're well over the Tom Danielson line. The part where, like, the dinosaurs, they're in the field, and they're getting chased by them. That shit's really fun. The stampede part. I should know those fucking dinosaurs are called. And it's bothering me that I can't remember what they're called.
Oh, the herd of them running like right. In the pack. And he references how they'd be doing that. Birds would be doing that running away. Yeah, I don't remember what he called them.
Also, I love that this is a 1993 movie. So we can have a character blatantly smoking and it's not radar. And Sam Jackson just out there just fucking
nonstop. Heaters.
Fucking Nedry Newman.
I remember that for some reason that part of the computer stuff was burning my brain too.
All right. I think that's it on our questions. I think Jake had some quotes or memes or something you want to touch on.
What else did I have? I got the word.
Can I ask what kind of dinosaur you would ride if you could ride any dinosaur?
Ooh.
They can't kill you.
Sure, yeah, you're safe riding a dinosaur.
I'm still going Triceratops.
Pterodactyl?
Oh, you want to fly.
You want to fly? Wild. I mean...
You said you're safe.
Yeah, you said I'm safe.
I did say they won't eat you. I didn't say they won't kill you in the air.
I won't fall off in the midair. Yeah, either that or like... Well, I mean, I guess it would be similar. You could fall off, but like... Could I ride on the top of a long neck?
I'm just hanging out on their head.
Tip top of the long neck's head. Can I just chill up there while they're walking around?
Like one of those dudes riding the elephants in Lord of the Rings, just fucking.
Yeah. Like, can I get a saddle? Can I get like, can you, I have can, like a can, necklace on the top, like a hat that's a saddle?
Can we attach like a fucking hot air balloon basket to the top of their head?
Yeah,
like a
so
hat?
Me. Yeah. Like a hat. There's still a saddle or a basket that I can ride in. It'd be fun, right?
I think it'd be fun just getting drunk in a goddamn hot air balloon on top of a long neck's head. That's a pretty good afternoon.
It'd be a great ride, yeah. I don't think I have any. I think we pretty much touched on most of the stuff. I have other like random neck. Things to hit on, but
I want. Well, tell let's Sean tell us dinosaur. Yeah. We'll hit on your shit, and we'll.
It's, go, I mean, on. You could convince me the long neck for sure.
Oh man.
But yeah, I mean, also if you can just saddle up a raptor too, that's gonna be a run.
Fuckers are fast.
But yeah, it's
fast as fuck, boy.
Even with a harness, yeah, there's a chance they just buck you right out of
you
there.
You think you can get a DWI on a raptor? Like you think of like,
I don't think you are driving or operating when if you're doing that. So probably,
yeah. Then
cuff thrown up, the raptor doesn't have a goddamn like his snarl is not in like a harness, and like the raptor's just like staring down the cop, and you're like, do you really want to fucking do this, officer? Like, is this yeah. Is this what we want to do?
I was gonna say they might arrest you, but I think you could probably fight it. I think you have legal grounds to fight.
Like the raptor's not letting you go to jail. Ain't gonna. They don't believe in protect the blue. All right, Jake. Anything else in the random?
I mean, we referenced it with with Malcolm's talking about like life finds a way when they're walking through Grant's like walking through and they find the eggs and he makes the connection like, oh yeah, they were talking about they had to splice other DNA in to fill gaps. And there are like reptiles frog, and amphibians and whatever that given no like only females around, they somehow spontaneously will figure out like they'll morph and end up being able to reproduce. Like it's a thing that's happened in nature. So it was like, oh yeah, that's of course, like you tried, but life finds a way. So good job. I think the other one thing that I wanted to ask the question about and see if somebody can give me a decent explanation of is,
oh, I'm here.
So the, they're driving the, they have the Jeeps driving around and they go by the T-Rex pen. And I never got the impression that the wall was like super high for the T-Rex pen, given everything.
Well, it's electrified. So like, it can't.
No. The fence, I understand. But then when they like go over the other side of the wall, it's like a 40-foot drop.
Huge drop off. Yeah.
And I never really understood, like, I know why, like, for the movie, they put that in there. Like,
so it's in the book, too. It's the book, too. But
when,
book.
See, when they show you everything, it's like the goat is right there. You can see it. Everything seems to be, like, almost level with, like, the cement wall, and the fence is just, like, 30 foot tall.
Right. That's
I was like, level. And then all of a sudden, they go over the other side of the cement wall, and there's, like, a 40-foot drop over there. I was like, what the hell is that? Where'd that come from?
I don't know if it's 40, but, yeah. I get it. How the hell did T-Rex get out of that? Right? Like, how did he?
Yeah, just yeah, kind of in general. It's like nothing other than those scenes would have implied that there was a big drop on the other side of the wall. That was something that like was kind of jarring to me. Honestly, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense for the Jeep falling or whatever falling through the tree thing. But
yeah, I think even watching today, every now and then I would just kind of click open. I was watching on Amazon, so they do the x-ray and it'll pop up, you know, goofs, trivia, stuff like that. And I think it does pop up. I didn't end up reading it, but I know it said something about like the continuity. Like that's not, it was something about like, that's not where that wall
right.
should all, be or height.
With all due respect, if I could double cap anyone, it'd be the fucking Cinema Sins fuckers on YouTube that like just, all the respect, no offense, I'd fucking shoot them in the face. I'm sorry. Like there is a generation of my sons that are like, this shit's slightly off. It's not right. I'm like, it's a fucking movie. Oh, yeah. like, how did Iron Man get from this part to this part?
Like almost everything you have, there's liberties that are taken with continuity and.
You're watching a movie about a man in an Iron Man suit. How about you shut the fuck up?
You're watching a movie about a guy that built a Iron Man suit in a cave with like nothing. So
Tony Stark built this in a cave. Anyway, yeah,
I think that's about it. That was a kind of a probably the only thing that I was like, oh, okay, in the movie. So
I'll leave this. The sequel trilogy is decent until the last one. I like the first one. The second one's a horror movie element to it. That's really cool. Like the Adamus Raptor, like is in a big mansion chasing the kids. The kids in that movie. Mm-hmm. The third one's hot trash. Never watch it. They literally brought back all the main characters from the earlier trilogy to fight murder hornets and not dinosaurs.
Oh.
You think I'm making that up? I'm not. Gigantic hornets with dinosaurs in like the background.
That sounds awful.
Hmm.
I watched it extremely hungover, fell asleep twice in the theater.
Nothing to do with it,
buddy. It's not. I think it's on par with Rise of Skywalker. It's not as worse as Rise of Skywalker because that's hot shit. Anyways, you guys got anything left? We done?
Nope. I think I'm good.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else. I think we hit everything I had down. But yeah, still a good movie. Go watch it.
It's I will leave it phenomenal. On this, that T-Rex is a pro at being pissed drunk and trying to open like a wrapper for drunk food and not waking else anyone else in the house. That motherfucker knows how to like get into a plastic container without waking up anyone else. Like, cause that thing snuck up on those raptors. We've all been there, right? Where like you're trying to get in like a cake container or like a resistor. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're trying to
be quiet. Yeah, and you still just make all of the noise in the world, but.
That's your accident. Anyways, till next time, I'm Uncle Ted, Jake Voss, Shantez. As Uncle Ted says, all the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Seek it out. Have fun, brothers, sisters. Talk to you later.
All right, later.